We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Former NFL MVP who played in a game that we still talk a lot about here in the Bay Area. We're very happy to welcome on four-time Pro Bowler, like I said, MVP in 1988. He is the host of Boomer and Geo, WFAN morning show, Boomer Esiason, here on 95.7 The Game. Thank you so much for joining us, Boomer. I asked you to come on the show during a Christmas party last year. We're calling you on the bet, man. Thank you.
I love being a part of your show, although I do not want to relive the memories that you seem to talk about a lot out there. So I'm as far away as I could possibly be from those memories right now, and I'm just worried about the upcoming season and whether or not the 49ers can figure out whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo is the real deal.
Well, I tell you, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because you understand this position vividly, where it used to be, where it is now, the demands that head coaches put on their quarterbacks. Boomer, what did you think of the huge bet that the 49ers placed on Jimmy G when they made that bet, and what do you think about it now that he's coming off an ACL surgery?
Well, you know, given the dearth of starting quarterbacks or quality starting quarterbacks in the NFL at that time, I thought it was a smart move by John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. I really did. Now, unfortunately, he gets hurt. And when you get hurt and you're dealing with a knee injury, and then you got to go back out there in a preseason game, and sometimes things don't go so well, and it's been a while since you've been on the field, it's going to take a while for him to get his feet literally back underneath him. So I hope he comes back. I think that there are will be a better team with him, with the revamped defense, the addition of Dee Ford, the drafting of Nick Bosa. I mean, this defensive line should be one of the top sack teams in the league. I mean, you know, last year they were towards, I guess, the bottom third of the league. This year I would expect them to be in the top third. And if that happens, then not so much pressure on the quarterback to go out there and complete 35 passes every game and kind of let him, you know, get his feet underneath him as they start the season. Look, they're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jameis Winston's been a turnover machine. Their defense is not great either. So I would think that this is a game in which, you know, he should be able to play well in. And then after that, they go visit the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, these are two teams that I would think, given what they have done in the offseason, the additions, with guys getting healthy and back on the field, I can't imagine that this team would be minus 25 in turnover ratio last year. They only had seven turnovers that they took away. They gave the ball away 32 times. So they're going to be better just by the fact that they'll be healthy, and I think that Jimmy G has a lot to prove.
This is probably an unfair question, which is why I'm just the girl to ask it. But would you guess there is more buzz in San Francisco around the 49ers or in New York around the Jets?
That's a really good question. So I think the Jets have gone through a total overhaul like the 49ers did when they brought in Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. So Adam Gase got here unexpectedly, was released by Miami. Christopher Johnson, the acting owner for the Jets, because the actual owner, his brother Woody Johnson, is the over in Britain as our ambassador. So Christopher Johnson's made some really ruthless and brave and what I believe are the right moves for this team, to bring in Adam Gase and then bring in Joe Douglas as his general manager off of the staff of Howie Rosen down in Philadelphia. And he's paid these guys a lot of money, given big contracts, much like Jed York did for what you guys got going on out there. So there is a lot of buzz here in New York around the Jets and Sam Darnold, their young quarterback. You know, he was the youngest starting quarterback ever in the history of the league last year. His last four games were really good, and they went out and got him an offensive coach. And their preseason together has been really good, and they added a lot of players around him, including Le'Veon Bell and Jamison Crowder, a couple offensive linemen, Ryan Khalil, come out of retirement. They are locked and loaded, and I think that teams like San Francisco and the Jets still have to find out who they are, but both teams, I think, have a lot to look forward to and have a bright future.
So as we're looking at what Garoppolo can do this year, obviously we've talked a lot here about the lack of wide receiver talent. Now, George Kittle's here, but there really does not seem to be a number one wideout. And I'm wondering, from a quarterback perspective, how badly do you need that number one wide receiver, or does a great tight end do the trick?
Well, you know, why don't you ask Tom Brady that question? You know, how many times he's been to the Super Bowl with a, you know, bona fide number one wide receiver? I guess Randy Moss got him there or helped get him there, and then they ended up losing to the Giants. And, you know, there are very few Jerry Rices out there that, you know, possess the greatness on and off the field that can lead your team and be the greatest wide receiver and win Super Bowls. You know, that trend has kind of gone out the window. That's why, you know, adding Odell Beckham Jr. or Antonio Brown to your roster doesn't assure you of anything other than, you know, a big pain in the ass. So I just think that, you know, you always have to watch about, you know, the chemistry of a team and what you're trying to build. I would imagine that John and Kyle are trying to build the right locker room, get the locker room lawyers out of there, you know, get guys that really want to win, want to pay the price. You know, I think a lot of teams try to do that. They say they want to do that, but doing it and pulling it off are two, you know, huge situations. You know, my friend Frank Reich is the head coach for the Colts, and, you know, obviously they got a major jolt here in the last 2 weeks when Andrew Luck decided that he was going to retire, which is sad for all of us who cover the league because we all love Andrew and we think he's a terrific player. But, you know, you got to move on and you got to adjust, and this is where coaching really, you know, at the highest level in this league comes into play. And Bill Cowher, who I work with on CBS, you know, had to deal with a lot of backup quarterbacks during his time, and he won a lot of football games. You know, this is what Kyle Shanahan has to do now. This is what Frank Reich has to do. They got to get these quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo. They got to give them easy touchdown passes. They got to give them easy completions. They got to get the ball out of their hands. And they got to build their confidence, and not only in themselves, but they got to build the confidence that the team has to have in the quarterback. So when 16 Joe Montana stepped on the field, everybody knew who the leader was. Everybody knew who was going to make the play late in the game. And that's what Kyle Shanahan has got to get out of Jimmy Garoppolo, given how much they're paying him, what they spent to get him. And, you know, quite frankly, there is a lot of pressure on the young man, and I think he can come through.
Boomer Esiason here on 95.7 The Game. What do you think of the offensive genius card handed to Kyle Shanahan before he's even seen a 500 record as a head coach?
Well, you know, he was that in Atlanta when you have top talent. You know, they were loaded in Atlanta when they went to the Super Bowl. You know, and a lot of these offense coordinators that, you know, actually get the head coaching jobs do so because they've had success in other places. And usually those other places include a Hall of Fame-type quarterback or offensive line or wide receiver. And, you know, Atlanta was loaded with Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu and, you know, that whole group of players around Matt Ryan. So, you know, Kyle was in the right place at the right time. He had the right players, and he deserved a head coaching job. And there's no question that, you know, his offensive prowess speaks for itself. When you're playing with backup quarterbacks, lack of big-time wide receivers, you know, an offensive line that's in a state of flux, a defense that can't get any turnovers. They only got 7 turnovers last year. That's not all on the coordinator or the guy who's calling the offensive plays. But I do know that they're feeling the heat. They should feel the heat. They got a lot of money and a lot of years to go out there and try to fix this thing. Now they have a healthy quarterback that is starting the season, but he's not truly healthy, meaning that anybody who's ever gone through a knee injury or any injury for that matter, you know, you got to believe in it, and you got to find out when you take your first real hit that your knee is going to withstand that kind of you know, that kind of punishment. So I think, you know, Kyle's reputation is good in terms of the national media, and I think the notoriety that he's brought to himself in the offense. But now he just has to have the players that are going to execute a scheme, and hopefully a healthy quarterback will do that for him.
You mentioned pains in the ass, and as a quarterback, you've dealt and seen pains in the ass at a lot of different positions. What is the best kind of pain in the ass for a quarterback to have if he wants to go to the Super Bowl? Assuming that everybody else, you know, every team has equal talent, and you had to take a pain in the ass. Would you rather it be a wide receiver, a running back, a tight end, quarterback? Would you want to be the pain in the ass?
There's very few players that fit that moniker. It's just, you know, it's unfortunate that the wide receivers, you know, over the last 15 years have tried to separate themselves for whatever reason, their brand or their Instagram handle or what they're doing on Twitter or what, you know. I don't know why. You know, Jerry Rice wasn't that way. Maybe because he cared about becoming the greatest. And so for me, like, I had tough guys that I had to play with, but never to the extent of what we're seeing now. I think, and I'm happy that the players are making the money. That's why we went on strike back in 1987, so the players would see the money, and they're starting to see it, and they have been starting to see it over the last 5 or 6 years, and significantly, I should say, in terms of guaranteed money, which is most important. But, you know, now all of a sudden, when a player gets guaranteed money, you got to be really, really careful, because if that personality is not that of, and I only use the 49ers references because of where you guys are, you know, if that guy's a Roger Craig, or if he's a Jerry Rice or Harris Barton or Steve Young, you know, you're going to invest in those personalities, those type of characters, because you believe that they're all about the team and winning, because that's what should come first. But in today's world, with social media, the amount of coverage that is thrust down these guys' throats, they all feel like they have to be more than that off the field, which sometimes really is a problem. And I think Antonio Brown is proving it once again, you know, with his Instagram, you know, taking a shot at the Raiders, fining him. I mean, what are they supposed to do? You know, you can't expect Mike Mayock and John Gruden just to sit idly by and allow this guy to run roughshod over the entire locker room without any sort of, responsibility. So they held him accountable. They fined him. And what does he do? He goes and tattles to the world on Instagram. So that is not helping the process, and that's not the kind of character that I think I want in my locker room that's going to help me win a Super Bowl, because he is all about himself. And that's the kind of characters you want to get out of your locker room. And that's maybe why I think they add a guy like Dee Ford. I think they draft a kid like Nick Bosa. They go after a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo. These guys are all top flight, good dudes. I think they want to win. I think they know what it takes to win. And hopefully, Kyle Shanahan will motivate them and also give them the game plan to win.
Boomer Esiason here on the Damon Bruce Show with Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky. Since we're talking about guaranteed contracts, the big news today is that the Cowboys cave on Ezekiel Elliott. What do you think the value of a running back is in the modern NFL? It seems there's an attempt to devalue it, but when you have a real running back, it's such a valuable tool. And then the follow-up is, what will this mean to Melvin Gordon, if anything at all? Because he's not in Zeke's weight class.
No, he's not in his weight class. He's a class below, but he's still a very good player. And, you know, him not playing is not good for the league. It's not good for the Chargers. So that's why I pray that there is a trade, and I hope that he gets what he wants. You know, if you are a running back and you're going to be devalued at the age of 29 to 31, and you're not going to be able to make the big money later on in your career, then they're going to be treated differently later in their career. They should be treated differently earlier in their career. That's the only fair way about it. That's why when Le'Veon Bell held out last year, I supported him. I get it. I understand what Melvin Gordon's doing. I understand what Ezekiel Elliott was doing. And I wouldn't say that it's caving. If you guys knew what it was like to run between the tackles in an NFL game and how at a moment's notice your career could be over, you can understand why guys like Jim Brown and Barry Sanders retired early. I mean, it is a car wreck every single time you touch the ball and you have to go through those tackles. And the coaches and the owners and the players that you play with and the fans that buy the tickets to come and watch you play expect you to lower your shoulder and take on every hit. And these guys get treated differently later in their career. That's why I believe that their contracts should be written differently earlier in their career so they can at least benefit from some of the abuse that they take on a given basis, especially when they're as good as Zeke or they're as good as Saquon Barkley or Alvin Kamara, for that matter, down in New Orleans. So I'm glad to see these guys get their money, and especially the guaranteed part of it.
You mentioned the defensive improvements for the Niners earlier, Boomer, and one of the sort of company lines of the offseason has been, don't look over there at the defensive backfield. We've improved our pass rush so much that that's not going to matter. And I'm just wondering, from the quarterback perspective, as someone trying to beat defensive lines and defensive backfields, is that sound philosophy to you? If the line is good enough, does it essentially render weaknesses in the secondary irrelevant?
Well, in some respects it does, but you know, you can't spend money on every position. And most teams will spend money on a pass rusher like Dee Ford. They'll spend money on a corner like Jason Verrett. They'll invest a high draft pick into a Jadeveon Clowney or a Nick Bosa, an Armstead, people like that. And you expect those guys to be game changers, or in the verbiage of defensive players, they are game wreckers. Mm-hmm. And that's what you got to hope for. You got to hope for a Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram kind of combination where, you know, if you lose a secondary piece, it's not going to kill you. You can play a little zone back there, be a little bit more passive. And then, you know, if you got a guy like Richard Sherman, by the way, who, you know, isn't the player that he was 5 years ago, I get that. but he's a smart player. He understands, you know, the lay of the land. He knows what to look for. He studies opposing teams' quarterbacks and route trees, and he's licking his chops when he's playing against, you know, a player that is prone to throw interceptions, because he knows that he now has pass rush that's going to be on his side. So they're going to get more. Would they have two interceptions last year?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Right. So if you combine it with an improved pass rush, a much more aggressive defense, maybe an offense that doesn't turn the ball over as much, then all of a sudden you're going to be vastly improved. And I think that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan's thinking about.
Across the bay, the Raiders are one of the hardest teams to figure out, despite the fact that Hard Knocks is designed to tell everybody everything you need to know about a team in 5 weeks. Are they merely a team in the second year of a prolonged rebuild, or are they a team that has to show something now? And by something, that could be as minimal as 7-9 and as much as a contending for a playoff spot.
Yeah, that's a really good question. By the way, I can tell you firsthand that Hard Knocks, HBO, did not have the access that other teams had given them in previous Hard Knocks. Mayock and Gruden basically put the clamps down on this. You know, we didn't even see Vontaze Burfict. You know, and very rarely did we see Richie Incognito. We saw a little bit of the Antonio Brown stuff because he probably just couldn't, you know, help himself get in front of the camera and show everybody, you know, how ugly his feet are. And you know, the fact that he, you know, has frostbite coming into the season is just beyond, I mean, just mind-numbing. So I would think because Gruden has a 10-year, $100 million contract and he's the personality that he is, and I like him. I think he's great for football. I think he's great on the sideline. I think he's a personality that the NFL needs in a stale league, especially when it comes to coaches. So, you know, I would expect 8-8 would be a good year for them. 9-7 would be a great year, which may get them an AFC wild card, depending on what happens throughout the league in terms of injuries. But I think anything less than 500 is probably going to be looked at very, very poorly. And I would imagine that that means that Antonio Brown isn't going to have the impact that he thinks he's going to have, and that means you have a whole other set of circumstances that could arise as well.
The league kicks off tomorrow night, little Thursday night football, Bears and Packers. We got a nice slate of college football on Saturday, and then week one really gets going on Sunday. Outside of, you know, Niners, Buccaneers, which we've already talked about, where's your interest lie on Sunday morning? What games are you going to be focusing on, Boomer?
Well, you know, on CBS, our number one game is the Titans at the Browns. So the Titans come into this game like the Washington Generals against, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters. So I can't wait to see what Freddie Kitchens does with Baker Mayfield and the group of, you know, wide receivers and just unbelievable athletes they have. They do have a terrific roster. Their defensive line is outstanding. Their offensive line is a little light. That may be the weakest part of their team.
Do you like Baker?
I do. I love Baker. I think he's a I actually loved all the quarterbacks that came out last year. And I like what Baltimore's doing with Lamar Jackson, trying to play to his strengths. I feel bad for Josh Rosen because he's going to go from one really bad team and one really bad coaching staff to another really bad team that's in the midst of, you know, trying to tank for Tua, it looks like, or maybe even Justin Herbert from Oregon, who knows. But the Dolphins are going to stink, so I feel bad for Josh Rosen. He's in a quarterback blunder. Other games that are out there this week, you know, I want to see Indy at the Chargers. That should be a really interesting game. You know, I want to see some of the new coaches, Zach Taylor, replacing, of course, Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati, you know, a team that I've obviously kept a close eye on all these years. And I just want to see whether or not Zach Taylor can become the next Sam Weish, because he's an offensive, you know, head coach. And hopefully he brings, you know, Andy Dalton to life and brings that offense to life. You know, and then I look at Bruce Arians down in Tampa Bay. You'll see him against your 49ers. I think he is a terrific head coach. You know, and this is a big year for about seven quarterbacks in the league, and Jameis Winston being one of them, because if he goes on to have a really good year and somehow Tampa gets into the playoffs, he's going to get the next really big contract from his draft class. So, and he could set the bar even higher for Patrick Mahomes. And I can't wait to see him, of course, against Jacksonville and that new built defense down there in Jacksonville with Nick Foles.
He is the booming portion of Boomer and Geo on WFAN. And let's get down to brass tacks here, Boomer. Morning radio in New York City are being chased by Lawrence Taylor. What's the bigger sports headache?
it's a hell of a lot safer, but it is a big headache because once you have an opinion, somebody doesn't like it, you hear about it. But, you know, I'm kind of like I got that quarterback skin, meaning that I've heard it all before and nobody can say anything that I haven't heard. So I'll take sitting in the booth because it for at least a 58-year-old, it's a hell of a lot safer.
I mean, say what you want about Lawrence Taylor. He didn't have a Twitter account and didn't bother you at all over there, right?
That's exactly right. Yes, you got that one on the money. And by the way, it wasn't just Lawrence Taylor. It was, you know, it was guys like, you know, Bruce Smith and Chris Coleman and Reggie Whiting, on and on and on and on. So, yeah, I played in an era where I think any quarterback will tell you, if you made it 14 years, man, you did something.
Since you're such a huge part of the New York media apparatus, I have to change gears and ask you about Kevin Durant, who we talked about almost ad nauseum while he was out here. Are you predicting good things or bad things for Kevin Durant? Like, is there a better chance of him putting the Brooklyn Nets on the map or being resented by basketball fans in New York City for not choosing to come be the savior of the New York Knicks?
All right, I'll be honest with you, Damon. I'm a huge Knicks fan, and I was praying that we were going to get Kevin Durant, and I was hoping that we would be able to get the number one pick in the lottery and get Zion Williamson, the team with him. Now, this was before, you know, he blew out his Achilles. I am not paying somebody for what he did somewhere else, and that's exactly what the Nets did with him, and he's not even going to be playing for them this year. You know, I doubt we even see the court. So you're basically giving him a signing bonus to rehab an injury that, you know, happened when he was with the Golden State Warriors. You know, Kevin's a mercurial guy. I like his game. I love the way he plays. But, the moment he got hurt was the moment I was like, the Knicks have made so many mistakes over the last 25 years, given big money contracts to guys that come in and basically have 2 or 3 years left in their contract, and then they have to eat the last 5 years of the contract. It was crazy here. So, you know, I'm glad the Nets made the mistake. I really am. I think it is a mistake for the amount of money they gave him and for what they're going to get from him over the next 2 years. You know, maybe it makes them relevant here in the New York City basketball market. But I they're a good team, but I think a totally healthy Kevin Durant makes them a different team. But I don't think that's going to be the case here. I just don't see it.
Let it be known. If this guy promises you that he'll come on your show at a Christmas party by a bar, he pays that debt before we even get to kickoff in week one. Boomer, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you. Really enjoy your time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. And I'll see you at the Christmas party this year.
Boomer Esiason, 4-time Pro Bowler, MVP in 88.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.